Castillo put what he hoped was a thoughtful look on his face and kept it there for 30 seconds, which seemed much longer. "And," Castillo then went on, "to be of any use to us in the manner you suggest, he would have to know what's going on, starting with being present at the briefing I'm about to deliver, and I'm uncomfortable with that."
"Sir, I'll be sitting on him,"
Lorimer said again. "You've mentioned that," Castillo snapped.
"Sorry, sir,"
Lorimer said, and looked at Mulroney with a look that said, "Well, I tried." "All right," Castillo said. "I'll go this far. You will not return to the United States with Colonel Taurine tomorrow. I will give this matter further thought and let you know what I finally decide."
"Thank you,"
Mulroney said softly. "Take Sergeant Mulroney out to the Quincho and tell the others I'll be there shortly. I need a word with these gentlemen."
"Yes, sir,"
Lorimer said. He gestured for Mulroney to get up and then followed him out of the room. When the door had closed, Castillo mimed applauding. The others chuckled.
"May I ask a question, Carl?"
Montz said. "Sure."
"You don't trust him, do you?"
"He strikes me as the kind of not-too-bright guy who, meaning well, is likely to rush off in the wrong direction, and we can't afford that."
"Can I ask why you trust me?"
"Aside from all that money we're paying you, and the bullet you took for us?" Taurine, Darby, and Delchamp chuckled.
"You know what I mean, Carl,"
Muntz pursued.
"Straight answer?"
Muntz nodded. "There are some people I intuitively know I can trust. You're one of them. That may not be professional, or even smart, but the proof being I'm not pushing up daisies, so far it's worked."
"Thank you,"
Muntz said softly, on the edge of emotion.
"I had the same feeling about you."
Their eyes met for a moment. "Hurriedly changing the subject," Castillo said, "pay close attention. Your leader has just had one of his brilliant, if somewhat off at a tangent, thoughts."
"Can you hold it a minute, Ace?"
Delchamp asked.
"Sure.
When I talked about Mulroney being useful in Paraguay, I meant it, not only for the reasons I gave."
"Okay.
Did you pick up on what Duffy said about him being worried about your health?" Castillo nodded. Delchamp said,
"Somebody, Weiss probably, has sent the CIA guy in Asuncion a heads up. Watch out for Castillo."
"I sort of thought he would," Castillo said.
"And did you sort of think his reaction would be whack Castillo and or whack him and everybody with him?"
"Who's Weiss?" Darby asked. Delchamp held up his hand, palm outward, as a sign to Darby to wait a minute. Castillo shook his head.
"No,
I didn't," Castillo said simply.
"What's your take on the threat, Alfredo?" Delchamp asked. "A little theater on Duffy's part?"
"No, I think he believes there was a threat."
"Which would mean he has somebody in the embassy, or at least somebody in Asuncion, who he trusts and who fed him that," Delchamp said.
Muntz nodded his agreement. Delchamp turned to Darby.
"Maybe you know him, Alex," he said. "Company old-timer, Milton Weiss?"
"I don't know him. I've seen him around.
Weiss first came to me, then to Castillo, and told us, A, that the station chief in Asuncion is a lot smarter than he wants people to think he is, and B, that they've got an operation going where they're going to grab a cruise ship, maybe ships."
"Cruise ships?" Darby said incredulously. Delchamp nodded and continued.
"Under maritime law, they're subject to seizure if the owners collude in their use to transport drugs."
"How are they going to prove the owners knew?" Darby asked.
"According to Weiss, they have that figured out," Castillo said. "And they don't want our operation, the Free Timmons, to fuck up that operation," Delchamp said. "At first, it made sort of sense. But then I found out that the agency doesn't know anything about this operation. For that matter, anything going on down there that we could screw up getting Timmons back.
You think the bastards in Langley would tell you? Darby asked.
Delchamp answered with a question.
Alex, do you think an operation like that would or could escape the notice of either John Powell or A. Franklin Lamell?
Darby considered that for a moment.
No. One or the other, probably both, would know about it. The potential for it blowing up. The DCI told me he knew of no such operation.
Told you personally?
Yeah, and I believed him. Then he sent for Lamell and asked him, and Lamell said he didn't know anything about it either, and I believed him, too.
So what do you think's going on?
I don't know. But when I thought about it, putting myself in the Asuncion station chief's shoes, if I had come up with an operation anything like what Weiss told me he's got going, and I'm not known for either modesty or my love for the Langley bastards, I'd want all the help I could get, even if that meant taking it to Langley myself and waiting in the lobby or the guard shack to catch Lamell or the DCI wherever I could find them.
Again, Edgar, what do you think's going on? Castillo asked.
No goddamn idea, Ace, except that I know it's not what Weiss has been feeding us. But now that we have it on good authority that my fellow officers of the clandestine service want to whack me and the president's agent, I'm beginning to wonder if maybe they've changed sides.
Jesus Christ, Jake Turin said softly. So what do we do? Castillo said.
I don't know that either. But I think what I was saying before about Mulroney being useful, that you and he should go to the embassy in Asuncion and let him stumble around.
Use him as a beard? Castillo asked.
Delchamp nodded, then asked,
Can I use your 007 radio to make a couple of calls? Like maybe 200? There are some questions I can ask some people I know.
You don't have to ask, for Christ's sake, Castillo said.
That's the best I can do right now, Ace. I suggest you go to Asuncion with Mulroney, acting as if you don't think there's anything wrong, but it's your call. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to whack people.
I want to talk to Pevsner before I go to Asuncion.
They'll expect you two in Asuncion as soon as you can get there, Delchamp said simply.
Let's make that choice after we hear what Duffy has to say, Castillo said.
Okay. You need me in that meeting, or can I get on the horn?
Before Castillo could open his mouth, Delchamp went on.
Sorry. We haven't heard your brilliant thought.
It was brilliant just a few minutes ago, Castillo said. Now it doesn't seem either very brilliant or especially important.
Let's hear it, Delchamp said.
I was worried about the Hueys and the guys from the 160th on the Ronald Reagan.
Why?
Taurine asked. There's a two-star admiral on board. Two-star admirals tend to cover their ass. We can't afford not to get those choppers repainted and off the ship, but the senior 160th guy is a major. Majors tend to do what flag and general officers tell them to do.
I knew a major one time, an army aviator who didn't seem all that impressed by two stars, Darby said. He even stole one of their Blackhawks.
Borrowed, Alex. Borrowed.
I gave it back, Castillo said.
What are you thinking, Charlie? Taurine asked.
That we need a more senior officer aboard the Reagan, Castillo said. Like maybe an Air Force colonel bearing a letter from Truman Ellsworth, or maybe even Montvale, saying in essence, don't fuck with the Hueys.
God, you are devious, Taurine said.
He thought that over a moment and then said,
What if I got on, what did Edgar call it,
the 007 radio, and called Ellsworth and said I was a little worried?
Talk about devious, Delchamp said.
He would think it was his idea, Taurine finished. When are the Hueys going to leave Rucker? I don't know, Castillo said. So you call.
You, Jake, Delchamp said, and find out. And then you call Ellsworth and say, I just found out the Chappers are about to go on board the Reagan, and I'm a little worried about something going wrong.
Why do I feel I have just been had? Taurine asked.
Okay, Charlie, you're right. Some admiral is liable to feel he can't get in trouble launching black helicopters if something happens, like being too far at sea, that keeps him from launching them.
Thanks, Jake.
Don't be too grateful, Ace, Delchamp said with a grin. Nobody's going to shoot at him on the Reagan, which I think explains his sudden enthusiasm.
Taurine gave him the finger.
We can call from right here, right? Taurine asked.
Castillo nodded.
That will be all, Colonel, Taurine said. You may now go brief the troops.